Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 348. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me in a very special location, Cole Coffee. I don't know, in the 348 episodes of this podcast, not counting the and a half episodes, of course, just the 348 episodes proper, I bet we could count on one hand the number of episodes that have been recorded here at the Morgan household. But you, now a resident of southwestern Las Vegas, southern Las Vegas, somewhere, you made the trip over here for this special Thanksgiving Day edition.
That's great, right. To have you here. Thanks, John. Give thanks to this. You know, it's funny because I was even thinking about that. I was like, man, I'm almost like as south of him. Then the other part of me was like, no, you're not. You're not on the other side of the Blue Diamond or whatever. I was like, you're not down there. You're still central-ish. But yeah, so we were just over by like the Apex. So the Apex here didn't take too long to get over here.
Right.
But even from the new place to here, I think is roughly 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, about 10-15 minutes.
But you don't have to jump on a highway. We can literally take like side streets or whatever. But it's good, man. But let me tell you, I am sore as all.
Okay, well, that's where I was going to go. I was going to ask you, we're talking about things that we're thankful for. I am thankful that you actually drove to my house, so that's what I'm thankful for on Thanksgiving.
I came because your mom's here.
You just came to say hello to my mom. I don't want to hear any jokes about that. They were just actually saying
no,
that to my mom.
I love your mom. Your mom's very sweet.
She is sweet. All right, but I was going to ask, are you yet to the point where you can give thanks for the new house, or are you at the point where you're like, I hate moving
I'm still
so bad?
I think once I finally get everything over, yesterday was the big move. Thankfully, I broke down. Wiser heads convinced me that, hey, maybe the idea of hiring people to help would be a help.
I kept telling you. You were like, no,
it's just a lot of money.
We can do it.
It's just money. But ultimately, when it comes down to what the money is spent for, like, I could spend money at a bar. I could spend money throwing money in a machine to gamble.
Right.
I spent money to bring movers, and I still feel like I moved every bit. And it just makes me think, how bad would I feel if I actually did the move?
Oh, you'd be hurt.
These guys were so efficient. They were so good. One, the guy got there early, and he was like, he was waiting there for his buddy to get there, and he was just like, he's like, I'm kind of here. You know, can I just kind of get started? I'm not going to put this against your hours. So he started like 30 minutes early, sort of like getting the lay of the group, of the house, and I had the truck. I brought the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started, and I was just like, I already like this guy. And then when
that's
his
like
buddy showed up.
Normally it's like, right? Oh, sorry, man, we're not on the clock till this time.
Don't talk to me for 30 minutes, sir, even though I'm sitting here in your living room.
I can respect
don't talk
that.
To me for 30 minutes. So the efficiency that they pack shit, it was just so fantastic that halfway through it, Hot T volunteered to help me out, and then I had Agent H's brother helping as well. So I was like, okay, I got a little bit of crew. I had another friend that was visiting from Canada. She saw that this was not fun for your first time in Vegas, so she dipped the fuck out. And I told her, I was like, I totally understand. She's like, I'm looking at the Stratosphere. The Stratosphere looks fun and the rides. And she's like, I found a deal at the Stratosphere.
That was just her very subtle way of saying, like, I'm not coming over to help you out.
You know, and I was like, dude, I get it. You know, it was just bad timing. Her trip, because it's her birthday this weekend, and then it was just bad timing that was like, hey, yeah, of course you can come to Vegas. But it's
right.
Oh, hey, by the way, I'm moving at the same time. Oh, well, I'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
That's funny.
You know, so, but even with that, you know, there was a point where at one point me and Oscar, we just sat off the side, and he was like, dude, we would have been halfway still packing the truck improperly to where these guys had it, to where we were pretty much fully loaded, ready to go over it. It was so good. And I was like, Who cares about money at that point?
Oh,
I could have blown
it. It's the best
money
you can spend.
That's it. But, yeah, man, it was hurting. But the weirdest thing about yesterday, getting it into the house, was bringing the animals over, and it was the animals' reactions. One was getting them to get into these little carriers to go over. I had to take one at a time.
Right.
The cat freaked the fuck out, you know, like to the point of where he was whining and like his death moan, like was like, what is this strange place?
Whoa.
Where did you take me? Are you leaving me? Even though the couches and stuff were sort of there in disarray, like there's a couch where we just dumped it and we dumped it in the floor. I was like, just put it in the floor, guys. I'll get to it later. Throw the cushions on top because, one, you're just trying to get to the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got you for a certain amount of hours. I was like, I don't need you to decorate the place. Just move it in
there.
Yeah,
I'll shift everything around.
So since there are these pockets of, like, just disarray of like, couches and shit, the cat, who was so freaked out, like, found a little place and burrowed and was just whining bloody murder. And I'm trying to be like, no, this is our new home. And he's like, wah! And I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. And then finally, that was like him the whole night. I kept waking up because he was whining or I'd hear a noise. And I'm like, is this just me here in the house or is it hearing the cat freaking out somewhere?
Right.
And it was a little bit of both. There's definitely creaks and noises from when the heater comes on. I think I heard gunshots last night.
What?
I swear to God. I was like, well, I didn't even hear that back at the old place, you know. So, but whatever. It wasn't like I was scared.
Whatever, just some gunshots.
I was like, I still got my .45 right next to me. I'm fine.
You're like, come with it, cocking the gun.
Come in the house because you got to come upstairs, motherfucker. But I woke up this morning and I woke up this morning and the cat was sleeping on the bed. The cat hasn't slept on my bed since it was like a kitten.
Right.
I think that's how freaked out it was that it was just
to.
Like, let me just be on this bed. I know this bed. But then today it was walking around the house. Everything seems good. I think they just needed their 24 hours to be in the place, but it's starting to feel better. Like last night, I got the room sort of set up. I haven't done the guest bed, but as for like the main room, and I set up a little office in the front little area. So it's coming together, and I do like the layout. I do like it. I just wish I wasn't so fucking sore so I could enjoy it. I'm literally walking around. I feel like a 100-year-old man walking through the house.
Well, first of all, I'll just say I am also thankful that you didn't hit me up to help you out. You know, I do have I do have my family in town. My mom is here, so I appreciate you allowing me. And let's not forget the last time I helped you, I jacked up my knee for like the next year.
I think that's what I told. Hot T was like, he's like, where's Morgan? Morgan's not helping. I said, well, let me tell you a story about the last time I moved.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't remember, it's been years now, but basically I was helping carry something downstairs and had the ramp.
It was the ramp, and so we were on the stairs.
No, it was the stairs. It was the staircase. Yeah, but what happened was I was the guy walking backwards, right? So I was walking down. And I just misjudged. I thought I was on the final step, and really there was still one more step to go.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stepping off into air, and then your body's not planning right. And I didn't know, like at the time I was just like, oh, well, that was unfortunate. And then over the next couple of weeks, like I was like, I can't walk on my knee. And
That's why knee locks and ankle locks and the stuff like that. Remember when everybody gets locked in that, and the guy's going for a submission? You don't feel it until it's already
right. Fucked. And then it's just done at that point. So that's good. Well, I'm excited to go. Go check out the new Costa Cold Coffee.
It's a lot closer, even though the other one was like, even it was like straight shots. Like you could hop on the,
sure.
Because you did the freeway. It's still pretty straight, easy, you know, shot. But this will be a lot easier.
Sometimes when I left, there was like traffic. Like I'd be leaving in rush hour.
Traffic sucks over there. That's not going to happen at all.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. I'm sure you're excited to be in. Have you gone and checked out the bar by your
house?
I did. Yeah.
The other day, Fiasco was helping out, and we were doing some trips. And then he was like, "Oh, we could probably get one more trip." I was like, well, we could, or we could go check out the bar right next door.
Yeah.
You know, so we walked over there. And it is, in fact, a Browns Buckeyes
bar.
No way. It's not the main one. Like, the main one has, like, the official clubs.
Right.
But I walked in with my Buckeyes mask, and a guy that was bartending, and he happened to be wearing, like, a Viking shirt, or was it a Packers? I can't remember. I just remember thinking, like, Minnesota or Wisconsin. But I want to say it was Minnesota. He's like, I don't know if you know, but I see you wearing the Ohio State mask. He's like, you know, we're supporters of the Buckeyes. So I said, okay, so this is the same owner that's the Brown Buckeyes of the other one. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, but just the main clubs go to the other one. He's like, but for sure, you know, people come here for it or whatever. And
I'm
like,
that.
Well, brother, I'll be right
so
over.
So the Ohio native is 100 feet away from an Ohio bar that has Spam Musubi on
and
the menu, which just
happens
to be
good.
They're good? You already had them? I was like, that is so – I mean, like I was talking to my wife earlier today. I was explaining this process to her. I was like, it's so random that like your favorite – I don't want to say junk food, but kind of just like your favorite little snack food, which is Spam Musubi, which is like, I mean, why would that be in a Las Vegas bar? And it's there, and it's 100 feet, and you can, and you walk, right? Is it like a convenient walk?
There's a security gate like right in front of the property. So if I walk out the gate, take a right, that first, it's like maybe 50 feet, 60 feet, and then you take a right, and then the bar is like another 30 or 40 feet.
And they're open 24/7.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Right next to it, I thought when I Google told me that it was permanently closed, but it's open. There's Tina's Filipino cuisine, so I can get me some my lumpia as well. So I can.
So
I
your
can
one get... quarter Filipino side is all going to be taken
that's
care
it,
of.
That's it.
Dude, you're set up over there.
Dude, it's. I was at first. I was really kind of bummed because when I looked at Jones. Like Jones up going up towards like where the Apex is, there's nothing. There's like no restaurants. There's no anything outside of like this Tino's or like the Sporting Life. I mean, I'm not saying they're not nothing, but like outside of that, I was like, man, what is there? But if I go one street over
Rainbow
has
everything.
Yeah. My Smith's is there, and it's so much nicer than the Smith's I go to.
Yep.
It's so funny.
There's
I could tell.
Butcher Block over there. That's
I
got
saw the Butcher
all
Block.
The Butcher Block's amazing.
I saw the Butcher Block. Now, that's the main Butcher Block, right? Or is there another one?
I think there's another one, but that one's, I mean, it's got everything.
Because that's
there.
The one that, when I saw that, I said, holy shit, that's Butcher Block. I was like, I never really, I guess, paid attention really to where it was, but I didn't realize I'd be so close.
For anybody that doesn't know, it's a great place. Like, if you're looking for some, like, high-end steaks or some custom cuts of meat that you're not going to get at your typical, you know,
like
grocery
store.
Like,
if you want something better than Choice, which is about what Smith's and stuff. But I'm digging on some
prime.
Choice, but, you know, when you get the Prime or when you get something, you know, super
special occasions
high-end.
Or just like unique cuts of meat. Like, if you just want to try something unique, they got stuff like that. So, yeah, you're set up, man. I'm happy for you. Well, I can hear the happiness in your voice, man. I know
it
what a stressful
It could just be all
time.
This cool little memorabilia.
You haven't really been
actually,
in the office since we set
I thought
it
about
all up,
you
huh?
Because I have a box, and I was going to ask you see if you want it, but I'll just do it while we're taping. Remember all the programs that they used to give us?
Oh, yeah.
I have a fuckload of them that I have in a box, and I'm like, man, I'm just carrying this box around. I'm like, maybe Morgan wants them. I wonder if I have some that you don't have, but you've been probably at most of
probably
all the events
most
that
of
I've
them,
ever had.
You know what's funny is I have a bunch too, and it's like, I don't know that they're necessarily going to be worth anything.
I know.
But
I'm
it's
like,
also
why
like,
am I carrying this shit?
But you know what? It's also, I don't know, like a part of history of some kind. Where like, you know what?
But it's here. It's cool in your room because it's decked out in memorabilia. Mine sits in a box that now I'm just like, okay, do I put it in the garage or do I take it back upstairs and put it in another closet? And I'm like, it's awful heavy to carry up these stairs. Like, I haven't done the stairs. Hasn't done stairs in a minute. And there are a lot of stairs. Like, it feels stairs. Like, I was looking at your stairs. I was like, damn it, my stairwell is, like, longer. And I'm
really?
Like, I'm, like, going upstairs. I'm like, fuck, this sucks. This sucks.
Yeah,
this
all the
sucks.
Modern houses here, man, everything's two-story, I guess, to just keep the land minimal, you know, to keep the plot as small as possible.
Well, that's because I'm. And plus, too, the ground's too hard. Like back home, they would do basements, and you could still have like two stories. And like most people don't consider the basement like it being a third story. But like you don't have. There's a lot of space that they don't use out here because of the land. So everything goes up. But I'm telling you, I was looking for the first for one story for a particular reason. And that reason being, I don't want to carry shit upstairs. I don't want to walk upstairs. I don't do any of that. So
it's less annoying than you think. What I mean? Like you're like, I don't want to walk upstairs. I mean, I know that sounds incredibly first world lazy, but I mean, but you don't.
You don't.
You just
especially like I'm a one story life man. I'm all about that one story life. But it's funny when they're like. Should we take this dresser and this armor up to the guest bedroom and to the other bedroom? I was like, nah, bro, because that shit's got to come back down sometime. I was like, let's just put it in the garage. Let's just put that in the garage, and I'll just stack stuff in it.
Oh,
you know?
Man, that's funny. So, well, dude, I'm happy because I know how much stress you've been under the last couple months to figure this all out. So it sounds like you got a little bit of work left to do, but all the hard stuff's done. A
little bit left, but it's it's good. It's good to be in the new place. It's good to – you know, it's a new chapter. You know, it's like anything. It was sentimental for different reasons. Sure. You know, there's a lot of history, a lot of love in that house. But
10 years.
You know, it's just like, you know, time for a fresh start. It's probably easy to help, like, just start new. Not that starting new, but you know what I'm just saying.
Break some
habits,
set some new routines.
For sure.
That's
so,
awesome, man. That's awesome.
I just hope that I don't start a Musubi habit like every day. trying to lose weight,
like,
not going.
Like you just walk in and they
like,
bring the masseuse out for
the
you.
Doctor, the doctor's like, your cholesterol for some reason has really spiked. Have you done something different? I eat a can of Spam a day.
I had a new primary care physician because my old doctor sold his practice.
So I was getting a
prescription refilled. When I went to call him to get a refill, they're like, yeah, he doesn't work here anymore. So anyway, I went to another doctor, a new doctor.
At the same place?
No, a different place. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna find some place different anyway. So I set up and I did my first initial visit, and he's like, all right, you know, we'll do your blood work, we'll do all the initial stuff, you know. And we had to go through the very uncomfortable discussion of, so how many alcoholic beverages would you say you drink a week? And I'm like, a week? Don't make me count that. How about if I tell you a day
and then you multiply it
by seven, because I don't want to write this number down. So we had that discussion. So we went and did my blood work. He got the blood work back actually earlier this week, and he was like, just to let you know, he's like, your liver numbers are a little bit high. He's like, but you know,
could be a spike.
He was like, you did have COVID like 2 months ago. He was like, so maybe it's related. He's like, so it'll probably settle back down. We'll check it again in about 6 to 8 weeks and see where we stand. And I was just like, I mean, we could just get going
it
now. If you want. whatever you were going to recommend 6 to 8 weeks from now, we could probably just go on ahead and get started on that. So,
that's hilarious.
So I'm of, as you, I probably need to start making better life decisions as well. I want to see my kid get old, and you know, eventually those slight elevated numbers will become severely elevated,
yeah.
And we don't want
to.
Well,
I mean, going to a new, I mean, a new care physician is always one of those weird things, because you know the whole reason of having a primary care physician is like they become your friend, they understand
right.
you, then they help guide you along this whole journey.
Yeah.
So when you have to start that whole process over, you're just like, what the F? Really sucks.
And
you got to have
guy.
A new guy
yeah,
check your balls, and, you know, and
well,
a new person.
That's a positive. What are you talking about?
Doc, I know I just met you. Can we do some physicals? Can we just skip the shit?
He's like, sir, can you pull your pants up? We're not doing that today. I'm like, dang, that's why I'm here. Just wait. Oh, man. No, it's So, by the way, I, if anybody knows anything about this, I'm trying to figure out if I got hustled or not, right? So I was looking for a doctor that was close to me, that was in our network with our Gannett health insurance. I found one not too far, 215 Sunset. There's a whole, like, medical plaza over there. It's actually where I went. The ear, nose, throat doctor that I went to check out my tinnitus and all that stuff was right in that same area. So I was like, you know what? Right in the same area, let's go do that. Anyway, I called the office, and they said, well, he does what do they call it? I can't even remember the name of it. Concierge service. We do concierge service. He's like, so you have to pay $100 up front as like a membership, basically. He's like, but then you have direct access to the doctor like 24/7 at all times. And I was like,
via web shit?
I don't know.
Like,
it's just like phone number. And I mean, in fairness, I will say this. When it came to my test results, he called me directly. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't some assistant or anybody working for him. So I don't know. Like, and I'm not somebody that goes to the doctor a lot. And it was only $100, so it's not a lot. I was like, well, let me see what this is about. But I was like, what is this? It feels like a little shady to me or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, isn't the doctor just supposed to be? I don't know. So I don't know if anybody knows anything about this or not.
I mean,
I don't know if it's a good deal. Supposedly, I have access to this guy 24/7, but
a lot of that's, I think, the whole telehealth thing, the whole whatever, you know, where they can get to you anytime, where they can get you on a computer, they can look at you or whatever, instead of doing having to schedule a visit in advance. So if that gives them the means to get on the phone or
yep.
to whatever. So I guess in that sense, I guess that's worth it. You know, but honestly, I mean, as for him giving the results, I mean, that's usually how it is. Whoever orders it usually gives you the results.
Right.
But the fact that if he got back to you quickly via whatever means, I guess that's kind of good. You know, it's a little more snappy. I mean, but I guess if you had a relationship with, say, if you were buddies with a doctor, like I know my buddy Dr. Petrick, if I called him up right now, like if I had something that was a chiropractic need
right.
or whatever, him being my buddy would do me the same deal,
yeah.
you know. He's just giving you like the buddy treatment.
That's what
for
I feel
a
like. It's like
or whatever.
Yeah,
you're buying into the club
have,
or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, which how much?
And I think
could
a lot of
just
people are
those
doing
$100. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's just like just a sign. I mean,
because the system's already built. They already have the mechanism to get in touch with you. It's
right.
just a matter of just enrolling you into it. Yeah, but a lot of it, they probably can have it to where they'll send you like a Zoom, or you can do a face to face.
That's true. Yeah.
If
so you
will,
can do like a consultation.
Yeah, like a consultation where they can actually look at you and actually so you see your doctor. Because I know talking about my brother, Dr. Petrick, that's what they were doing as well. Everybody seems to be doing the whole telehealth thing because it makes it easy to see people from everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in this area to see me, you know, but we can actually talk. I can listen to you. I can look at you.
Right.
Find your symptoms, blah, 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 blah.
Because you're not going to do the blood work anyway. I can go have you do it over here or do
right.
it over there or whatever. So I just need the numbers to.
And that's a big difference thing right there. Is like, I feel like when we were younger, we went to a place and you did everything.
Yeah,
there.
I felt like you
now,
got it all done.
Now you get sent everywhere. And that's how it's been. And so I guess you're right. What you don't really need to have a doctor that has, for the most part, unless you want to like have that face-to-face interaction where you want to be in the room because you're like, what am I paying for?
Yeah.
What are the credentials? You know, what are the whatever? You kind of want to see that. But I guess nowadays everybody seems to be doing that route.
Well, we'll see what it's like when I go back in 5 to 6 weeks and we see if this random
spike
in my number has dropped a little bit. Hey, you know, it just made me think, talking about the blood work. I did. I didn't catch the guy's name because it just caught me kind of off guard because I was in there to get my blood. And a guy was like, hey, you're that reporter, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. I was like, he's like, what was your name again? And I was like, John. He's like, yeah, John, that's right. He's like, you and that guy from the Mac Life. He's like, I love your guys' questions and stuff. I was like, damn, that's hardcore, bro. Like, you're checking out the press conferences and all that stuff. So that was kind
of
cool.
I will
so
give you a sneak peek of that. Speaking of that, before, I don't know if you ever watch Oscar's little pub talk that he does with Dan Hooker.
Right.
At the very end of it, they do a question, a fan question sequence or whatever. But one of the fan questions to Dan, I think, but it was like, why the heck does John Morgan always get the first question?
Dan's like, I don't know.
But no, he actually, you have to go and watch it. But both of them were just like, oh, man, he's the dude, blah, 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 blah.
That's
blah.
Cool.
But
that's
it was
awesome.
Kind of funny that.
That's cool.
In their segment. So that carries
that
over
carried
to him
over
as
there.
Well, you know. So
that's hilarious.
Well, just like as much as our people talk about hot tea, people to hot tea segments talk about.
That's
you,
awesome, so. Man. I meant to tell hot tea that I met a fan of his and I needed to tell him that. So, hey, listen, I haven't seen you since my VIP day at the Apex, right?
I was wondering, I was like, is Drunk Morgan to come back into the room afterwards?
No, I consciously made a decision not to do that because Drunk Morgan was definitely
Drunk Morgan,
bro. It is a I don't know if I can go back anymore. Okay, so listen, so here's the thing is. And I talked about this on the and a half episode, so all of our listeners and supporters of our patreon.com/MMAroadshow have already heard a little bit about this. But, you know, when we go in there, we see that little VIP area that's like where the weigh-ins are, right?
Yep.
We see it over there. There's, you know, it's always pretty, pretty laid back there. Everybody's pretty polite, all that, okay? Now we see the suite that's up there. Okay, we see that. There's another room. It, back behind, basically like behind Dana's section. There's you go behind some curtains, and then there's a door
the
that goes
floor.
In on the ground floor. Yeah, and it's the Howlerhead VIP lounge.
Oh.
And things are a little different in the Howlerhead VIP lounge. I don't know. The vibe's just a little different over there. The drinks, they're flowing, bro. They're flowing. And it was funny because like –
that's because Dana ain't paying for that.
Exactly. It's all free. And it's just right there. And everybody's kind of partying a little bit. Now I see why that section over there isn't always full because people are walking back to the Howlerhead VIP lounge. But it was funny because the security that
was
working
outside – is that open to everybody?
I don't know how you have tickets. We just had wristbands because Rob Hadak, the president of CFFC, he's the one that set everything up. And we got in and they gave us wristbands and it had a Howlerhead wristband. I didn't even know. I was like, what's this for? And then they're like, oh, well, we'll show you. We walk back there and they're just like handing out individual bottles of Howlerhead, pouring. They were like, have you ever had a Howlerhead and Screwball and Diet or whatever? I was like, no, I have not. And so like, well, let me give you one. And it's like, poured all the way up. I mean, after one drink, I'm already like, whoa. This is
you should be like, what other drinks have I not had that you could tell me about?
Load it up, man. And it's funny because, you know, they did have security over there and stuff, and it's all the same guys that we see all the time, you know, just rotating through. And I was like, I'll still sit over on press row, but can I still come here during the normal events? I was like, can y'all just let me into the Howlerhead VIP lounge? I was like, and then I'll take my cocktail and I'll go sit back down on press row, and I won't bother these fine people. I'll just come to the VIP. They were like, No, sir. Enjoy it today.
That would not be good.
So we had a good time, but no, I did have a slight buzz on as I left the USC Apex, but I decided it might be in poor taste for me to come there and rub it in while you guys were like stuck working hard and grinding away.
Well, it's funny because somebody was like, somebody was like, why didn't Morgan say goodbye? I was like, probably for a good reason. I told Drunk Morgan, don't show up to the presser afterwards.
I know.
But there was nothing afterwards in the sense of, like, there was no – we knew there was going to be no Dana. We didn't get Misha, and then we got, you know, Ketlin, but it was, like, really quickly.
Super brief.
I knew when you weren't there, I was like, okay, it's going to be a translated thing. And I was like – so I didn't even fire up the stream. I was like, there's no fucking point for it, you know.
I was – and I hate to say it, but that was – look.
It was not the best of nights.
It was not the best night. And part of me was kind of disappointed by that, and part of me was kind of cool with it because the time that I get to go be VIP, I think it would have been fun to have, like, some just, you know, rocking fights.
But then you'd want to be sitting all the time, not at the bar.
Exactly. Then you want to be out there. That's luckily. Oh, just I missed another boring decision. Oh well.
Do they have TVs in the room?
They do have TVs, so you can literally just stay right there.
Just sit there the whole time,
or at the very least, like you know exactly when the fighters are walking. So you're just, and it's only like 10 steps. So you're like, can you refill me again, please?
Well, you would. I can see where like somebody else is like, oh, I don't want to miss anything. I'm gonna sit in my seat. Where you're like, I could fit two drinks in that walkout.
Yeah. That was kind of the strategy.
So what was up with Dee? Dee had a good time. She enjoyed it.
Yeah, she came. She showed up for the main card.
Did you guys go out afterwards?
We did. We went to the after party, which was cool because Rob Hadak, obviously,
that's right.
Pat Sabatini and Sean Brady both fought for CFSC. Both were champions. So they had a suite at the Cosmo, and they just had like the friends and families there, which was cool to like talk to their parents and stuff like that and kind of see what they go through and just hang out with those guys. And then the wife and I went and celebrated by having a nice dinner at Blue Ribbon at the Cosmo, which, man, is not cheap, but it's very, very good, man. It's a solid restaurant. So it was fun. She had a good time. And, you know, same thing. I was like, sorry you didn't have the best fights ever. But it was cool. I will say, though.
But she at least likes to fight. It's funny because I think even some of the other media guys were like, his wife's here? Does she like fights? I was like, dude, she's been watching the fights for years.
She doesn't watch. She started watching less once Eli was born, obviously, because she's busy and stuff. But, yeah, when we first started dating, I was like, hey, you probably need to watch this. I'm like, I'm not saying you got to love it, but if it turns out this disgusts you, I'm like, we probably need to stop this now because that's not gonna be a successful relationship. So she used to watch a lot more. And, of course, that was, you know, she's from Mexico originally. That was the time when she started watching, when, like, Roger Huerta was making his rise and all that. So she had somebody to kind of relate to and that sort of thing. So she had a good time. But I will say this, man. It's definitely not – and it's so weird because I've been in there so many times, you know, working. But being in there as a fan, man, you really see the difference between, like, the feel of the arena. Just the lighting, the sound, everything. So all these people that are like, oh, they could just keep it at the Apex forever, you know, and they save money, like – I just don't think they can, man. Like, it definitely does save money. It's easy for everybody. But it doesn't, like, hook you. Like, that first time you go to the – and AL3's got the beats pumping and the lights are this and that. And you go in, you feel the crowd. Like, all of a sudden you go, like, I love this sport. But you figure it's just like, eh.
But even there, though, you figure for the kind of money those people are paying, they already got to be hooked.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're definitely going to be trying to, like, woo anybody with that, even though maybe there would be something that comes into town and just happens to be, like
VIP prices.
They're paying such crazy prices.
Yeah.
In fact, just earlier or the other day, I saw Solid Gold, which is right around the corner from the Apex, which sounds like a strip joint back home.
Is it not?
I know, right? There's a Solid Gold back home that's a strip joint. But this – oh, no, this is Sierra Gold.
Sierra Gold.
Solid Gold is a strip joint. Sierra Gold here, which is like a PT's pub, which is right by the Apex. They have something worked out with the UFC. So part of the fans that get to come, like everybody gets tickets. So some of them – like, I met a new girl that was working there, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to the Apex on the December whatever. I was like – whoa. I was like, you either know somebody or you're throwing down. She's like, no, it's free from work. I was like, do you know how much those tickets cost?
Because
those packages are like $2,000 or something. So, but yeah, so Sierra Gold, a lot of their employees, so some of the younger people that you get to see come to those are people that are worked out, that have worked with the just being in close proximity.
I bet you that has something to do with Hollerhead too, I bet.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Like some, hey, carry Hollerhead. Carry
Hollerhead and we'll get
you tickets. Or promote Hollerhead.
Which makes more sense than just the UFC saying, hey, local business nearby. Yeah. Unless there's something else that they have worked out with them to let them in or something.
Listen, it's just like, hey, this is the bar that's closest to the Apex. I'll give you guys tickets if you never talk about anything you hear. Like, sometimes athletes may come to blow off a little steam, and if you could really not talk about it at all, we'll definitely get you some
free
tickets. That could
be it. A little hush money.
A little hush money over there. All right, listen, man. It's a week with no UFC, no Bellator. It's a holiday. I mean, I know you're staying busy. I got family. I'm staying busy. But it's kind of a weird one, right? I mean, there's not, like, I will say this. Like, Saturday, I'm going to be wondering, like, it's weird. Like, I'm happy that we don't have the routine this week, but I do kind of feel like I'm just floating with no purpose right now.
I don't mind it at all. Honestly, like, after that crazy run of, like, the two a weeks, as I call it, when the Contender Series, I'm wearing a Contender Series hat because I couldn't find my other hats because they're all in weird bags and random shit. I started, like, I couldn't even find pants, so I'm, like, tearing all these plastic bags of trying to find clothes. My house is such a mess right now. After that, I was so just at the point where I was, like, I don't allow myself to miss or stress out. Like, now it's more like embrace the break. Stop worrying, thinking about, like, oh, man, it feels weird, whatever, because what's weird is the point that we never get those days off. We never get our weekends off, like, ever, and it's been like that for a solid fucking year. So now I'm just like – I'm just training my brain to, like, just shut it off and don't even think about it. Just find something else to consume.
What about the 3-week break that we're going to have at the end of the year? Do you think that'll feel weird, like, a little bit long? Because there's 3 weeks with no UFC. I don't know. I haven't seen the Bellator schedule yet.
I mean, what does get me on those is because lately we have to leave the house three times a week, you know, to go drive somewhere. So when I don't, I definitely feel like it's always like I feel like I'm supposed to be somewhere.
Right.
And then I wake up.
Yes.
Usually, like, if I sleep longer than I normally do, I freak out because then I feel like I've overslept something. And it's wait, nothing's happening this week.
Yeah.
And then you get that whole panic attack when you're like, I know I'm supposed to be somewhere. That one will probably feel it because a little bit more. But this one with the holiday and with other stuff, I was just like, nah.
You've had so much to focus your life on.
Like, right now, all I've thought about is, like, just get this move done. Just get this move done. And I'm glad I started early with, like, the small trips because I see the light at the end of the tunnel now. So yesterday with that big move, now it's just, like, a little bit. So I'm just like – honestly, it's been funny because, like, normally I lord over, like, our YouTube and I'm constantly looking at them, constantly doing whatever. I haven't even opened up. And it helps the fact that my internet install got screwed and it's been a fiasco getting, like, my internet at my new place.
Oh, that's scary.
So right now I'm just hotspotting.
Really?
I don't even have internet. There was supposed to be on the 22nd. I was there loading in. I got a text that said, oh, hey, we can't come. We're going to come on the 24th. No call, no nothing, just a text. And the 24th was the big day of the move. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. So when I called him after the 22nd, I said, you have to have your check. Call me an hour before because I'm moving nonstop.
Yeah.
I'm at U-Haul, picking up the U-Haul, and I get a text saying, tech missed you at the house, can't be installed.
Solid customer service.
Yeah. So I call them, and I said, you know, what the hell's going on? This is what's supposed to happen. And they said, oh, yeah, I see it notated on your account. Sorry. I was like, well, when can you come? And they said, oh, you're not going to like this. It's not going to be until the 3rd. So December 3rd, I won't have my CenturyLink. So
is that still the latest update?
That's the latest update from them.
Do they understand that, like, our entire life revolves around being connected to the internet?
So today I actually went to start hooking up Cox just so I could have Cox cable.
Yeah.
I was like, what size Cox can I fit in my house?
I have the largest Cox package available here in this house.
You have the Gigablast one. You Gigablast that ass. I was just going to go for the ultimate 500. Because part of it, I wanted to see it but because I have my old Cox modem, you're going to love this. This is because I'm going to call back and I guarantee that it's going to be a different situation. I have the cable modem that I had when I last had Cox. I bought it.
Yep.
It was their top of the line one, 24x8, DOCSIS 3.0. It's not the latest, DOCSIS 3.1, which only techs and geeks will understand what that is. So I called them up today. I said, hey, I look on your website right now. I see it's good for the Ultimate 500. So that's what I'm getting because I already have the modem. I don't want to rent your $12 a month thing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, well, that modem's only good for this package or this package, but it's not the Ultimate 500. And I said, I'm looking at your website, and it says that it's good. Why is it not good? And he's like, oh, well, we had some things change. And and I'm like, is this fucker trying to upsell me?
Up.
Is he trying to upsell me to, like,
he's trying to get you to get concierge service.
So at that point, I was like, well, just cancel it. And he's like, well, that would be our retention department, sir, and they're not open now. And I was just like, I want to jump through the phone and kick you in the face. But I had to leave the house. So that's where I'm at right now. I couldn't even get the Cox. But what was interesting about the Cox, this is just the technology of it. So the cable lines are already in your house. So if you have the right modem and it works, you can sign up online. If you have your own modem and it's all good, and you could plug in the info, they could just flip the switch back.
So you don't really
have to have a tech come out there.
Wow.
So it would have worked if, my modem was working or whatever. But I knew that you have to register, like, the serial number, mm-hmm. the MAC address, so that their network can see it as a legit device. And then, boom, they can send you the signal and you're good to go. It wasn't registering, so I call them to give them that info, and then the guy's trying to be like, sorry, that doesn't work. That's only good for, like, our baby packages. I was like, motherfucker, this was your best modem, like, whatever.
Not anymore, sir.
2 or 3 years ago.
But, you know, we could get you that best modem
very easily.
We can get
you that one,
right?
And for just $12 a month.
And you sound like a good guy, buddy, so I'll give you my best deal available.
I'm like, it says it on your website. I'm sorry, sir. There were some changes. I was like, well, then don't you think you would change your website if that was the case?
They're customer service. And I'm sorry if anybody works for Cox Communications.
CenturyLink's even worse.
Is it really? I was going to say, because Cox, it seems like, is notorious for bad customer service.
They are.
But
that's
like,
why I left them in the first place.
Here, I have no choice. I can't even get – actually, I take that back. I can get CenturyLink here, but I want to say, like, it's like a maximum of like 10 megs down or something. I'm like –
so it's probably
what
like
is,
one
like,
up.
What is like, what is that for? Like, who uses that?
Even at the next place, even with, if I'm, because I already had CenturyLink, so I was like, let's just keep it. Let's see how it feels, and then if you guys bring fiber, I can just easily just switch it. 80 down, 10 up.
Not bad.
And I'm like, okay, I can make that work. But then I was like, all right, let me just look at Cox. Let me just get the thing at the same time, and I was just going to sort of feel them out. But now they piss me off, and I just want to be like, I'm just going to go without internet till the third. I'm hotspotting and stuff. But I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. So I'm literally going to
be a little tough.
I'm literally
going
to go back and go. But I'm gone next week.
Oh, that's right. You're off. Oh, God. I totally forgot about that.
I'm going to go to media. I'm going to go to media day.
I'm so glad you reminded me that, because I probably would have not brought my camera. Oh, you are coming to media day?
I said I'd do media day. I'm just, because I was gonna skip the beginning of the week and then go to fight night. But then my aunt passed away last weekend.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go to Wisconsin. So I'll just do the media day. I'm leaving out on Thursday morning. So
sorry to hear that, man. Totally
it was like one of the good aunts. Sometimes you're like not the
distant
closest
people
with like
that you
distant.
Don't really know.
They're just like, yeah, that's my brother's sister or whatever. But like, they were one of the real. She was one of the real good ones. So actually, it's going to be pretty decent. So I'm flying into Minneapolis on Thursday. I get in midday, so I'm actually renting a car. I'm going to Rice Lake, Wisconsin, which is where my father's family was, and that's where my father's buried. So I'm going to drive up to Rice Lake, go to the cemetery, see my dad, see my grandparents, go to the old Makana Inn where we used to always eat at when we stayed at the cabins up there every summer, eat dinner, stay in Rice Lake, and then I'm going to drive back to Minneapolis, help the family on Friday, see the service on Saturday, and then back home on Sunday.
Wow.
And then back to work on Monday.
And that's when I'll be missing. No, that was the pay-per-view week, and then, we got all kinds of stuff going on.
I know.
It's busy. All right, well, listen.
It never ends. And so when you say, oh, do you miss this weekend? I'm like, no, I don't. and luckily it worked out, because with the move, I mean, like trying to like – even trying to do a fight week and move would have been impossible. It wouldn't have been impossible, but it would have just been a real pain in the neck. It's already a pain in the neck move, and I can only imagine trying to balance a fight week just because fight weeks never end. Just even in general, even outside the fight week, people don't realize we always got other stuff to edit. There's always something to do. So just like when there's a fight week, it just makes the week even longer. But so I'm fully embracing the time off.
Suddenly, I have taken a different approach to this, too.
I am not sad at all.
Man. All right, so let me ask you something. So no major MMA this week, but there is Triad Combat.
When is that tonight?
Saturday night.
Saturday
night. Listen, I think I'm going to be honest with you. So it's Triad Combat. It's Frank Mir. It's Mike Perry. There's a couple other names on there as well.
I knew the Frank Mir. That's the only one I really knew about, and I was like, "Oh, that would be interesting to see." But I didn't realize Perry was on it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely one that I'm. Look, I think I'm in on this thing. So Matt Mitrione is on there as well.
So what are the difference of the
Albert
rules?
Albert Tumanoff is
for
on
those
there.
That don't know.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, and by the way, I just want to start. So I'm gonna say it's only $19.99. So on Fight TV, it's only $19.99. So it's not Nobody's asking $60.
Yeah.
So I think I'm. I think that's a decent price point.
I mean, like, even if you're just like, I'm not sure.
For $20,
that's
like
that's the cost of like a movie ticket and a drink.
That's it.
You know.
So I think I'm in on this. But so we will have Matt Wells out there. So this is in Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field. So it's where the Texas Rangers play.
Okay.
Matt Wells, of course, lives out there in the Dallas area. So he's going to be there on Saturday night. So MMA Junkie will have coverage of this. So if you're not wanting to spend the $20, but maybe just curious about what's happening, you can go over to MMA Junkie and we'll have coverage of it there. But essentially the rules, like you said, it's boxing with clinch work. So you can dirty box as well. So it kind of blends the sports there. So there's no kicking.
No knees.
There's no takedowns. There's no knees. Yeah, so it's still just your hands. But when you get in those clinch positions, you can still work inside.
And they don't separate you.
They don't separate you. Now, I don't know if the fighting surface changed.
I bet they separate still at some point if you stagnate.
I think they have to at some point.
Because they even do it in MMA.
I think they have to at some point. I know there was some argument about, because I think they had like a triangular fighting surface as well, and there was a lawsuit because if you remember, like Dada 5000 was the head of a boxing association that had a triangular ring, and so there was a lawsuit. I don't know if they got that worked out or not, so we'll see if the fighting surface is still what it was supposed to be. I'll be honest, I've been a little bit unplugged this week, but this to me is not going to be like I'm tuned in because I got to know the heartbeat of what's going on. This is me just, but you know what I did see? They had a press release.
Just to watch a fight.
It's a no weekend fight, and they're only asking. If they were asking $50, $60, I'm out at that point.
And if it didn't have the MMA personalities, I would have zero interest.
Absolutely.
Like I don't care about boxing with clinching. Like
I agree.
I don't care at all.
It's the fact that you got Frank Mir. It's the fact that you got Mike Perry. It's the fact that you got Matt Mitrione. Here's what else I saw today that I liked that they did. So, and I don't know if this has been previously reported, but I just happened to see this in a press release they sent out recently. So, Mir's fight with Pulev is 9 rounds. Mitrione's fight and Perry's fight and, Derek Campos's fight, Tumanov's fight, those are all 7 rounds. So, I like the fact – an odd number of rounds. And that sounds like a very simple thing, but, you know, when you go to even number of rounds, you really set up the opportunity for draws. When you got the odd number of rounds, it looks like you're going to shy away from the – not that there can't be draws. Because I don't even know if the scoring works the same where a 10-8 is an automatic knockdown as a 10-8. I don't know. But I think on the surface, at least, the odd number of rounds is a good thing because it kind of pushes away from having a draw.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, what's the difference? Is 9 the maximum? Is that like the main event clause?
I mean, let's be
honest.
They're just making up stuff as they
go. I know,
you
right?
know what I mean?
Because, I mean, it doesn't even sound like a boxing thing. Like, it's just like 9 and 7 is just
so
sort of
just the main
random.
Event is 9 rounds, and then the next 4 are 7 rounds, and the first 2 on the main card are 5 rounds. So
interesting.
I guess that'd be like a 10-round, a couple of 8-rounders, and a 6-rounder. So, I don't know. I thought – look, they're experimenting. I don't know. I'm going to say
this.
I do
like that idea, though. I mean, I do like that where it does alleviate the
– It should. It should make it a little bit more rare, I would think. So, I like this idea of playing around a little bit, having a little fun, getting some more paydays for these guys that don't have a lot of other options in their career. Given, I will say,
and they're going to take less damage.
They're going to take a lot less damage. Yeah. I will say, I have no idea where Triller is getting this money and how long it's going to last. Because you got to think, Metallica alone has to be several million, right? I mean, Metallica doesn't come play a concert for less than a couple $1 million, right?
Maybe back in the day. I mean,
you
never know.
Big
I bet they get $1 million.
A million? Isn't there? Was there like 5 of them? 4 of them? I apologize to anybody. It's a hardcore Metallica fan.
Who knows? I mean, who knows what it takes? I mean, because even what I want to say, like the story was back when, and that could have been a favor. I thought that, like, Dana paid Red Hot Chili Peppers $1 million. To get back together for that holiday party.
Those were the days. Huh? The Zoo for Christmas party, Red Hot Chili
and
Peppers.
Maybe it was a little
Snoop
bit more,
next.
But I mean, like, that was like one of those things. So it's like, all they're doing is coming out for like a quick show. And you know, if they get a guaranteed million, you know, like, that's pretty good. Like, when you start getting more than that, it's like, really? I mean, like, I wouldn't pay multiple millions for Metallica just to say that I had Metallica. Like, who cares? I
wonder if you're like giving them shares or something, or giving them
something. I mean,
could just, like you said, could be a relationship.
But even if
when I think about the Chili Peppers, like you said, first of all, they didn't play like a full concert. They played, but they played for like an hour or something, right? Or I can't remember. I wasn't there.
It was a good hour or something. I mean, I was fucked up. I can't remember how long, but it was probably like a good power hour or so.
But I was thinking too, remember, don't forget how many events Anthony Kiedis has gone to. Like, he's a hardcore MMA fan. Now, I don't know what that says about the rest of the band. They may be like, I don't care if you're an MMA fan, you still got to pay me.
Yeah. But they were rusty as fuck. I still loved it, but you could tell that they were rusty. Like, but like me as a musician, like, I remember – you know, part of it is the communication that the band has on stage. You know, when you're looking and say, if you're just improvising and just going, you're looking off each other and you're making the little subtle hints that somebody that's not paying attention or know what to sort of look for would never notice.
Right.
But they were making all kinds of hella looks at each other and like signaling when like, okay, the change is coming up. But also, you know, you get a couple looks like, bro, your timing's off, or like all this other shit. And I was like, have these motherfuckers not been playing? And they hadn't been touring or playing at the time. But yeah, they were rusty.
That's interesting, because you think a band that's been together that long could just like pick it up and be like,
"Right
on it."
But it wasn't like they were bad, you know. But it just it wasn't them in their peak form,
right?
You know. But I guarantee you, like, it could be something the same sort of deal with this, where it's like, well, we don't have any tour set, we're not playing anywhere, but we have the possibility to work something and get amount of money. Can we ask for our tour prices when we're not actually touring? Probably not.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's a nice mix between the two.
It's an interesting point. Yeah, like, that is interesting. I never thought about that. Like, you're not really getting us at our best.
I don't even know. I mean, I haven't seen, but I don't remember hearing of them out and about touring right now, but they could be.
And you think you would hear right now because, like, tours stopped for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, but they're certainly firing back up. They're certainly firing back up, you know. And that'd be the perfect thing for, like, a warm-up, you know. Just get some money, but also get some time playing together again.
Playing at a baseball stadium, too. Like, how many fans can they really expect to be in? I'm intrigued. But look, this is the thing is, like, I'm happy for these athletes. You know, I don't know what this sport's going to look like. I mean, this is essentially a new form of competition. Yes.
Wow.
That's awkward. I know.
So they're just going to set it up out in the middle of the field?
I don't know.
Wow.
So I'm intrigued by all this. I'm in. You know what? I'm just saying. I don't think I'm in. I might just get off. As soon as we get done, I might pre-order right now. Like, I'm committing. Yeah. Fight is getting my $19.99. I'm watching this thing. But, I'm happy that these guys are finding ways to get paid. I just wonder how long it can last. You know what I mean? Like, Triller has to be burning through money.
I mean, every time we see him put an event, we're like, where is it going? Because you never hear the numbers, or you'll hear some number that you're like, that can't quite be right. But it just just makes you wonder, you know, are they just laundering money for somebody that has way too much drug money that they're trying to get rid of or something? But yeah, it's crazy. It just doesn't seem sustainable for what they're doing, but I like what they're trying to do, and maybe it's just a matter of throw enough things against the wall and see what sticks, see what works, you know, I mean, to be able to keep doing it. But thinking about the ball field made me think of a story back when I was in Columbus and used to get Clippers season tickets. One year, this upcoming band was doing a concert at the old Cooper Stadium, and I had front row seats or whatever, and they were like, oh, just stick around for afterwards. You can stay in your seats. You can watch the band. I said, I don't know anything about the band. What's this band called again? Oh, it's an all-girl group. It's called Destiny's Child. And I said, I've never heard of them before. That's interesting. And they started playing this music, and then I remember one of the songs, and I remember remarking to the person sitting next to me, and it was the song that some of you might know as Pay My Bills. And I remember it was like – I was like – because it was like they did a song and it was like Say My Name or whatever, and then they Pay My Bills. I said, man, they're asking a lot. They want you to call them their name. They want you to pay their bills. I said, who do these girls think they are? And then, like, lo and behold –
they will not be successful. They have the wrong attitudes.
I don't
entirely
think they're going to make it. Who are these girls playing here at this old ball field?
I'm such an astute evaluator of talent. I will just tell you right now, these people are not
going to make it.
And Cold Coffee was right. You know what?
Yeah, the band doesn't perform
anymore, right?
No, they don't.
Did anybody do any good from it? I can't imagine they did. I mean,
I know, right?
Probably just struggling to find a place to live.
All three of them work at like some baristas somewhere.
That is funny. So did you stay for the whole show?
I did watch the whole show.
You watched the whole show?
I watched the whole show. It wasn't like – I didn't feel like – I don't remember it being like a long show or something like that. Yeah. But it's so funny when I look back, because I didn't realize – they might have already been like decently big at the time, but me being so clueless.
I mean, if they were playing at the Columbus ball field, they probably weren't that big.
But I mean, I guess enough to – I mean, being enough to like to play in a ball stadium.
Triple A ball.
You know? So, I mean, they have to – it's not like they were just picking local bands. Because I was in a local band at the time. We never got asked to play in the stadium.
Okay, so, well, they're a little better off than that. But Triple A ball, and it's not like you're paying for it. It's just an add-on value to your $6 ticket.
Yeah. I was certainly paying more than that. But But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe the team had something worked out. I mean, because the Clippers at the time, were they still? No,
they were Yankees affiliate.
They
for
were
years,
Yankees,
right?
But I can't remember if they were. I think they were still Yankees at that time. Because I don't think they became Indians till they moved over, possibly to the new field.
Right.
I could have my timelines mixed up, but still, regardless, still AAA ball. You know, they're playing in a stadium that could hold at the time 10,000 to 15,000 or something. So that's not a bad little thing. So could be the same. They could have played at some random venue somewhere else and
absolutely
not had it. So at least they had a captive audience that was there. But it just, I was just so clueless, had no idea who
it's
they were.
Funny.
And then years later, when I was like, holy shit, like, look at these girls. And I was like, I had no clue, like, when I'm watching this show that they were going to be, and maybe at the time they were already starting on the cusp.
Yeah.
I was just, it wasn't what I was listening to. But yeah, every time I think about somebody talking about a concert at a ball field, I just think about how fuck I saw Destiny's Child.
That's awesome.
Before they were like huge.
You know, we always do like to provide a Las Vegas update, people. Did you hear that the Oakland A's bought a patch of land here in Vegas?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so we might be stealing another team from Oakland.
I heard that Oakland, that was like, I heard that people were talking about that, but I thought people were trying to poo-poo it, but Oakland, poor
people
Oakland.
From Oakland would probably just hate us, right?
Oakland has to absolutely hate us. I mean, I think
they still
understand the fact that it's like, if maybe their city put up for the money, they had the chance to vote for.
Oh,
I'm sure they had the chance to vote for shit. You know, you can't hold it against Vegas.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, hate your team, hate the owners. It ain't us. It ain't Vegas doing. But I can see where somebody could be really mad at Vegas because we scooped the Raiders,
and now if we take the
A's, sorry.
Be like, hey man, we look forward to the Golden State Warriors coming here as well. They actually just got like a new $1 billion stadium. They're doing they're staying right where they're at. But that would be pretty funny. Like, we'll just take all your teams. How about that? All right, listen. I did want to say we didn't do a because this is Thanksgiving Day. We didn't do a full a full roadmap section this week. We didn't set up the whole thing.
But I didn't do any of it.
I didn't know if
that
you
was
had,
all you.
I didn't know if you had access to the
I don't
theme
even have
music.
Internet.
You know what you get. But there was one question that I did, and it's kind of on the heels of the women's main event. Obviously, it didn't end up being the greatest main event of all time. But this
I was so let down.
I was too.
I guess not let down. That sounds disrespectful to them. I wasn't let down, but I expected that it was going to be much more of a even-sided beating. And when you look at the two fighters after, one looks like they're in a fight and one looks like they weren't in a fight.
Yep.
I didn't realize how bad Misha's face was until the end. I was like, holy shit.
I didn't necessarily understand her strategy completely. It was funny because if you'll remember, in when we were doing the preview, I was like, you see these statistics of how high Ketlin's takedown defense is and how low Misha's takedown rate is? I was like, but let's not pay attention to that. Like, it's probably not going to matter. Like, she's going to get her down. I was like, she's not even trying to get her down.
Try.
She tried like a little bit.
She wanted to be a striker.
She wanted to be a striker. And I mean, good for you that you can take solace in the fact that you had a decent performance or you were at least able
and
to strike.
And she's tough as nails. I mean, like, she it's not like she ever had to prove that she was tough. We always knew she was tough. I mean, this is the girl that
her
most
title,
people first realized that she didn't tap.
Yeah, her Ronda performances, she showed her toughness.
Yeah.
When she beat Holly, she was getting beat in that fight. She showed her toughness. I mean, there's no questioning her toughness. No.
But yeah, it was almost like the I don't know if it was just the how technical the striking was or if it was just easy enough to say one was much more powerful than the other.
Right.
It just certainly looked like Vieira's punches were doing so much more damage every time they made contact. And then I was like, you look over Ketlin, like, I'm like, is Misha not even touching her?
I mean,
but she was touching her, but
dude,
it didn't look like it.
The size difference between them was way bigger than I thought it was going to be, man. Misha looked like she could be a flyweight or something.
She's so super fit, man. If she considered moving weight, if she could, I think she would do really well.
But then you do all that just for the honor of facing Valentina Shevchenko, which is like, God.
You know, yeah, true. But I mean, you'd rather get beat by the champ than beat by something that's not even near the champ.
So true. So true. All right, so listen, on the heels of that, Matt Clark weighed in with a question. I thought this might be an interesting debate, so I'll see where you say. Matt Clark said, who's the money fight? This was over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So if you ever want to support us for as little as $3 a month over there, it definitely helps us out, helps support the website. And, of course, you're VIP to us at that point. So whatever you got, we're going to address. But Matt Clark said, who's the money fight in women's MMA these days? Is it Cyborg? And I thought that's interesting. The money fight right now. What's the most money you can make as an opponent right now in
like
fighting?
Who are the two people that have to be in it, or like
just
who,
who's the one you would want to be booked against? Who what do you think the biggest opportunity is? Is it still Cyborg and Bellator? Is it Amanda Nunes? Is it Valentina? Is it Kayla Harrison?
I was waiting for you to throw that name
out. See, that's – and again, I'm a Kayla Harrison fan, so I'm wondering if maybe this – I'm a little bit biased. Not that I'm not a fan of all those ladies. They've all been great. But I feel like Kayla is that fresh blood, you know what I mean, that's coming in. I feel like she's the one that's got the momentum behind her right now.
She's got the momentum. You said it. That's it. I mean
– and the way she embraces it, you know?
Out of all the ones that you mentioned, granted, Cyborg's firing on a great level right now, but Cyborg's at the end of her career.
Right.
I mean, there's no taking away. She could still be super dominant, but Cyborg is not going to be around. So I think some people, even like myself, for so many years it was always like, oh, there's a fight with Cyborg. Oh, let's see how fast till she smashes her. You know, until she lost Amanda, she was always. It wasn't even like a guess. It was like if there was ever a pick, it's like. You laugh when somebody says, all right, pick Cyborg and so-and-so. It's like, really? That's funny.
We started not even doing, like, because we used to do, like, pros pick or whatever, who you got. We started not even doing who you got because it was like, come on, you're not going to find anybody.
It's the same answer. It was the same answer over and over and over. But as of who is out there right now, when you were starting to name those names, Kayla was the name I was waiting for you to say because, one, I mean, she's got the look. She's attractive. But she talks like a fucking sailor.
It's amazing.
Her attitude, she just, I mean, she brings the sass. She brings the attitude. But she brings the skills to back it. I mean, in my mind, she's the hottest female athlete. Mm-hmm. Female MMA athlete that there is. You know, so if I would think if somebody's like, okay, I have money and I want to pay for a fight, I want her on one side of the card. Hands down. It would just be the matter of who would be on the other end, as opposed to before it might be like, oh, it's got to be Amanda and so-and-so. I don't even know if Kayla and Amanda is the biggest one. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know if Kayla and Cyborg's the biggest thing, you know? I mean, because you want it to be competitive, but you also want it to be one where people can't say, oh, well, you know, Cyborg was getting near the end, or they don't want to be like, oh, well, Amanda's been trying to be a mother now. You know, like, I feel like people are getting these built-in excuses that they could use. Valentina, you don't have those sort of excuses. So out of those three, maybe she's the one, but she's never like a shit talker. She's not going to go whatever, but she also won't back down. If Kayla goes in there and tries to start talking something, you know, Valentina, of course, is going to give her something, and she's got that really cool, like, I'm a spy accent.
Right.
And I'm going to fucking shoot you, you know. But they're two totally way different weight classes, you know. So it's like, could that even happen? So then if you start thinking, well, one's not going to go down, one's not going to go up, okay, well, I guess that can't happen. You know, how do you make it happen?
I mean, Kayla can go to 145. She's done it. She doesn't like doing it. She doesn't like cutting
weight.
But then
that's just
Amanda,
right?
Yeah. I honestly think all the things you say are so true. I think Kayla right now is the one with the most intrigue because I just feel like with Cyborg, with Nunes, you just feel like it's a foregone conclusion of what the result of the fight is going to be. And because of that, you're not intrigued. Whereas Kayla, I feel like the undefeated record – the gold medals, the fact that there's still some people that are going to be like, she's not for real, and I want to see her get beat, you know what I mean? I think that's the most intriguing option right now. I really do, and I'm interested to see what moves she makes. I'm actually supposed to talk to her early next week, and I'm really interested to see where her head's at because I know she wants to get paid, right? She's got kids that she's adopted that she wants to support. The idea, if I had the option of saying Kayla can fight one person, she can fight either Cyborg or Amanda, I'll be honest, I think I'd say Cyborg, man, because the whole training partner situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't know if we're getting either one of them at 100%. We don't know.
I think it would be easier fight for her than Nunes.
I do too.
As shitty as that sounds.
I do too.
I just think that she can get past Cyborg striking to get a hold of her. And if she gets a hold of her, she's gonna wreck.
Whereas Amanda's decent on the ground.
Amanda's decent. I mean, they've been training with each other. So I think they've, even in that sense, have probably picked up a little bit on each other. You know, I'm sure as she's, you know, went through moves on Kayla, she's kind of now, not that Kayla has a tell, but I think anybody
you start to
that's
know
really
good,
you start to feel
what their go-to moves are, know what their tendencies are.
That's it.
You're like, oh, I've been there. I know exactly what she's looking for.
That's
I know exactly
it.
What she does in this position.
I would love to see Kayla, because Kayla's been willing more and more to stand and strike with these girls, not just try to get down. I would love to see her test herself against Cyborg. Because
I imagine that would be a tough clinch, right?
That would be tough. But Cyborg, I mean, as bad as she's still beating on girls, it's not the same Cyborg that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
I mean, not that her power has diminished, but maybe the speed slows a little bit. Right. So maybe the overall power isn't as bad because the speed maybe isn't quite there with it when she's throwing something. But she's still throwing with a lot of bad intentions, and it's doing a lot of good. But it's just not the same. And it would be interesting. So if I had to pick out of the ones, all right, I would say, yeah, Cyborg and Kayla Harrison. But it has to have Kayla in it.
Yep.
What would just be interesting and weird, because some people might say, well, who's the A side? Who's the big advertising? Who's going? And that's a tough one.
Because
I mean, I can see people arguing for both sides, because obviously you want to get the respect
Cyborg,
but Kayla's got all the heat right now.
Undefeated, gold medals, knows how to talk.
She just won $2 million checks like back to back at the PFL. I mean, if the UFC can get off their behinds and give her the money, she'll do fantastic, and they can market her to the end of days. But if they're not willing to play, then just take that money, get another $1 million paycheck, or do something. Or if Bellator is ready,
when Dana said, "I think she should just stay where she's at," I'm not convinced that he truly believes that. I think that I know the matchmakers don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I know that they know how good she is, you know. But I think that may be like a little negotiating tactic. Like, let's not give her too much leverage, where we're like, "Oh yeah, we got to get this hot commodity." Yeah. You know,
I will never open up an MMA's division, a women's MMA division.
Yeah, 1 year later. Yeah, 1 year later.
Guys, I'm going to give her the belt as well. Is that cool? Hey.
Yeah, she might have to fight for it. The PFL might open up their wallets too, because that's a cornerstone of their roster, you know. So,
but I mean, I just don't know what other money that they have to do that sort of thing outside of their tournaments. I mean, they have so many millions given to that tournament. It's fantastic. What was it, $6 million every time?
Yeah, it's so cool.
That's a fantastic thing, what they're doing. It makes you think, okay, all right, well, they got that money for that, and then you get actually a company that's running and has employees throughout the year, but then you want to throw something extra on top as well. And they're still paying the fighters for those other fights between.
Yep.
And she's getting – I imagine that, you know, whatever her contract would have to be
she's
to keep
making
her around.
Money behind the scenes.
She's making money.
She's making money behind the scenes.
That's another one
where – published pay rates are not what she's bringing home.
And no offense to PFL or whatever, but, I mean, we talk about Triller. We say, wow, where's that money come from? How from it? I mean, I say that about PFL every time. I mean, granted, they're on, like, the ESPN platform, so I'm sure ESPN's kicking them something. But it can't be – that's not all ESPN money. They got to have something else coming in. But it's just – every time they have a season, I feel like every time we finish a season, we're like, is there going to be another one?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going for it. And they're like, are you really? Are you sure? What about the year after that? Can we plan on that? Well, you know, we're going to see what's going on. You know, it's just like you're just waiting for it to happen to where it's going to be like, I don't know, they're going to get to the end of the tournament 1 year and they're going to just be like,
well, thanks.
Thanks, guys. You know,
let's hope not, man. The more platforms we have for fight, I know people complain about, you know, saturation of the product and stuff like that. But the more platforms there are, the more opportunities there are for people to make a living and to keep developing. And that's how you find these other people. That's why the women's game has progressed so quickly, because for the longest time they didn't have a place to actually compete. Then once they had a place, they get paid. Now you can train full time because there's an opportunity to do it, and you see it as a path. So, I'm all for as many places to fight as I can.
And there really should be. I mean, you know, you don't want it to have all the eggs in one basket, because there's only so many fights. Who wants to have everybody just under one organization?
That's it.
Not get any time in front of a TV, not get any time to build whatever, and then they get one fight a year? You know, like, you can't make a living off of that.
Nope.
You know, you need to have something of the other ones. And each one of them, you know, albeit some things might have their pros and cons. You know, you might say, oh, well, the PFE, you know, the fight night timing is just ridiculous or whatever. But there's some things that each one of these organizations do that's unique and kind of cool to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's good, because, you know, if not, we just get stagnant with the same thing. If we expect every fight to be like a UFC fight night, what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's great and it's stable and it's whatever, but it's kind of cool when other
little
stuff,
different
sort
flavors,
of stuff.
A little different, a little bit different way of doing things. So, that's my take there. So appreciate the question, Matt Clark, and we'll get back to a little bit more formal Q&A sessions later. But anybody that wants to support us, at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, we'll do it. Listen, it's Thanksgiving, so I don't want to take up too much of everybody's time. I did want to give one shout out real quick. Check out Matt Erickson's coverage at MMA Junkie of the Halle Berry movie Bruised, because Matt Erickson, you know, doesn't do a lot of interviews. He doesn't do it, but Why? Because, listen, he's cool just kind of hanging out, grinding behind the scenes, doing his thing. That's his style, right? But when it comes to movies, this man is a movie buff. He sees
movies.
Literally like every movie there is. He does like Oscar coverage for his local paper there. I mean, the dude is all in on movies. So for him to get an opportunity to interview Halle Berry was, I think, a big moment for him, and he was very excited about. And he's done a couple different features on it, a couple different stories, and yeah, he's usually behind the scenes. So take a look at his interview work.
Yeah, how bad is that to have to talk with Halle Berry, man? Poor
Not
guy. Poor
bad.
Guy.
I know he's sacrificed.
Sacrificed. Take him for the team.
Tough
you know?
Assignment for him. So you know, after he's grinding on a horrible assignment like that, I figured I'd give him a little coverage. So check that out. We don't have a lot of movie coverage over there at MMA Junkie, but.
So That's looking at your bobblehead here, is this like a lightweight Daniel Cormier? Is this?
I mean, you know, I think Daniel might have asked our good friends at MMA Bobblehead to
he's got the full on like
trim
me down
pack. A little bit.
No, that, actually, I see the top two.
He's like
he got a little six pack. I'm like, man, that's like middleweight version or like even lower weight class. I was like, at first I thought it was Ciryl Gane. Look at him from the side.
I can see that.
Because Ciryl Gane is he's a fucking specimen,
yep.
Man. But when you look to the side, I'm like, I was looking at the body type. I was like, man, that looks like Ciryl Gane. I'm like, Daniel Cormier. I was like, please. What weight class is this?
He's like, hey, bro, can you just like paint that Chuck Liddell body and
just call it me?
Get a little
stick my head on it. Shit, I don't know. I can't remember the last time Chuck was that ripped either.
Oh, man. Shout out to MMA Bobblehead, man. Dave Manley, a good dude. And I love this. Honestly, it is honestly like no joke. It is my favorite like MMA collectible.
You got some good ones.
Yeah, man. I've tried to collect all of them, man. I think he does a great job.
Where's
with
the buff? Think the buff?
Bruce Buffer one.
Oh,
right
there he is.
He's up there.
I was looking. Oh, next to Nick.
Yeah, got Nick over there.
Cowboy,
Black Beast, the Demetrius Johnson one with one championship, which actually had that's the only one that actually has the organization's brand on there as well. I partnered with them. So
who's that? Is that Gray or who's that?
Dan Henderson and Chuck Liddell.
Oh, he's throwing the bomb.
Yeah, throwing the H-bomb.
Oh.
Got some great ones. I think those two were the very first two. So you can see, like, now the boxes have become, like, art
these boxes are. I was noticing the boxes.
They started out as just, like, a box, and now they become a piece of art in themselves. So,
wow.
Shout out to Dave Manley and MMA Bobblehead.
It's fancy in here.
I really do.
So what do you put on the whiteboard?
So that was here when the house was purchased.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because we're the second owners of this house, but this was the man cave for the dude before, so that was like a projector screen.
Okay.
But I never really had a projector set up, but I left
it's not a whiteboard, huh?
Yeah, I left it there
like
just
a whiteboard.
In case, so I could actually add something here and throw a little projector in here, which I've thought about doing. It'd be a great place to watch fights in here and just throw it on that projector screen, but yeah, this is my kid's playroom for a while.
Yeah,
then turned
remember
it
when
in,
he used to play in here.
Turned it into the office, and yeah, this was
fancy.
This was a product.
It's fancy in here.
This was a product of COVID, man, this office. It was a
How much are these frames?
The frames are expensive. So
it's
I got
nice wood ones.
Yeah, I got some real. I have so many UFC posters. So that's UFC 82, UFC 87, UFC 92. These are the autograph posters. That's like this was UFC 87 right here. Obviously GSP and John Fitch, which is awesome. But that was also John Jones' debut. So you got John Jones' first autograph on there.
Is that when Muir broke his arm? Nagir Muir on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Vicious.
That was Lesnar Herring there. Yeah, that one. So
that's, man, that's just cool. Look how baby face Florian. Look how young everybody
crazy.
Looks.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool posters.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've got the UFC 100 one downstairs in my living room. I just always have that one downstairs. It's so cool. Like, I think 100's a pretty awesome one. So I have so many of these I still need to frame. I can't afford them anymore. I will say this. You know what? I will say this. This is something I noticed, too, that I haven't paid a lot of attention to because they're starting to sell merchandise again.
Yep.
If you were a person that used to like to collect these autograph posters, which I always did until they started getting to the point where they were like $500,
yeah.
$1,000, the Fight Night ones right now, at least the one the other night, was $80.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them that low in a long time. So if you're one of these people that like to collect autograph posters but maybe, like me, you got priced out of it, I will say, I guess because there's no fans, so they're not selling as many of them, they have dropped the prices tremendously.
Yeah, Scott Peterson was saying that they did it because he still picks them up every once in a while. He said he picked one up and he was like, he said it was like ridiculously cheap or something. But yeah, I still, like, I'm like with you. I mean, one, the frame costs money to put them up in. And I think I still have like 12 or something.
Yeah, and I put these in like nice custom frames versus just like a, like, obviously I wait until like Michaels does like a frame sale or something like that, but I haven't framed any. But eventually my wife was like, look, you can have them in there, but like you cannot have these all over the house. I was like, all right.
That's I got like 30 more of these. I need to put them somewhere.
I know. I do have some cool ones from over the years, like the one from the fight night in Moscow, which was cool. It was Olenek and Hunt, so it wasn't so much about the names. It was just the fact that like everything was in like Russian lettering and stuff that. I did get the one, the comeback to Brazil. So you had like Anderson, Big Nog, Shogun, like all on one card. I was like, that's awesome.
That's
the Brazilian legends in Brazil.
That's dope.
So I've gotten some cool ones over the years. But in fact, I've got Connor's Dublin fight night. I've got that one, the one where he headlined. Again, and because then, dude, like the Habib ones and stuff, I mean, they got ended up to being like $500, $1,000.
That's awesome.
So
I remember I didn't get the signed one, but because I remember they had extra posters in the room when Weidman beat Silva.
Oh,
I was like,
that's
man,
legendary
I
night.
Wish I had. I know, and I was like, so I got the poster, but I don't have the signed version. And I was like, yeah, it's still cool.
Still cool to have.
I was like, something still happened.
So. Yeah, well, welcome to my office. I'm sure I probably won't see you over here again for another six months, a year, something like that. A
couple more years.
All right, listen, it's Thanksgiving, so everybody get back to their families. Hopefully enjoy the weekend. If you're like me, I think I'll be tuned into Triad Combat on Saturday night. If you just want to see an MMA junkie, Matthew Wells will have full coverage there. I've actually got a couple more days vacation, but I'm back to it on Sunday. And me and you will kind of be overlapping a little bit over the next couple of weeks. And then we got the pay-per-view, and then I've actually got another CFSC event.
So we'll have to go early next week.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I travel on Thursday, so we'll have
to do it like Wednesday night.
We'll do like a Wednesday night.
After media day.
Yeah.
That sounds good. All right, well, we'll plan for that. No and a half this weekend because we don't have any event, but it's the first one in a long time, so I'll take my Saturday night, and we'll bring it all back to work next week. And just enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday, guys. Thanks for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.